Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you're listening to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it. Not everybody needs to step into the position of being 100% responsible or being the most responsible in an organization. Not everybody even needs it. Not everybody wants it. And it's not for everybody.
Stayallday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively. With that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game. You already know by now that my new book, Work on Your Game, Using the Pro Athlete Mindset to Dominate in Business, Sports, and Life, is out. And we both know that you're an audio listener because you're listening to my podcast. How would you like to get the audio experience of my new book, Work on Your Game, completely for free? Here's how. Go to DreAllDay.com/review. That's DreAllDay.com/review to leave a review on Amazon of my book, Work on Your Game. Take a screenshot of that review and send it to me. My email's contact@DreAllDay.com. You can DM me on Instagram, send me a snap, tweet, whatever way you need to get it to me. I will reply and give you the free audiobook version of my new book, Work on Your Game. Again, go to Amazon. That's DreAllDay.com/review, or just look up my book on Amazon if you prefer. Leave a review of the book. Take a screenshot of your review. Send it to me, contact@DreAllDay.com, or DM me or snap me or @reply me. I will give you the audiobook completely for free. You're already listening to my podcast every day. If you haven't read the book yet, you don't have the physical or the digital, so you don't know what to say, say something about my podcast. Say something about some way that I have provided value to you in your life. Leave that as the review. Screenshot it. Send it to me, contact@DreAllDay.com. The link again, DreAllDay.com/review to review my book, Work on Your Game. Screenshot it, send it to me. You get the audiobook for free. One more time, that's DreAllDay.com/review. Let's get to it. You need this book in your life. Work on Your Game, Using a Pro Athlete Mindset to Dominate in Business, Sports, and Life. Audiobook is yours. All you got to do is leave that review. DreAllDay.com/review. You are now tuned in to the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work. The confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of this, you're going to get some personal initiative, a lot of personal initiative. This is the go-getter energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. We put all this together, and what you get is the mindset, the method, the podcast known as Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Today's topic is the privilege of responsibility. Privilege of being responsible. The definition of this word privilege is a special right or advantage or a rare opportunity that brings a particular pleasure. And the definition of responsibility is a state of being accountable or to blame for something. So why would I be telling you that being accountable is a special right or advantage? I mean, we all understand the value of accountability. I've talked about accountability here before. You've heard about it. You know about it. Hopefully you're embodying it in the way that you live. But why would I be calling it special? And why would it be a rare opportunity? The definition of privilege is a rare opportunity that brings a particular pleasure. What's so pleasurable about having responsibility? What's particular about that pleasure? Why is it a rare opportunity to be the person who is accountable or possibly to blame for a certain situation? You may not quite understand why I'm saying that. It's okay that you don't, because that's why you're listening to this episode. I'm going to explain it in detail here today. Again, the topic, as we get into point number one, the topic is the privilege of responsibility. Point number one, without real responsibility on your shoulders in life, you'll never fully know what you're capable of. And the reason why you'll never fully know is because when you don't have real responsibility on your shoulder, you will never be forced to stretch your game. I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't be good at what you do. Doesn't mean you can't be reliable, dependable, consistent, even get some proper rewards for what you're doing, for your skill, and be recognized even for your abilities. But until you have some real responsibility on your shoulders, where you are either you're the person who will be celebrated for the success or completely to blame for the failure of a situation, until you have that accountability that is 100% on you, not to say you wouldn't have help, but it's everybody's going to be looking at you in the end, whether it's good or bad. Until you are in that situation, you'll never find out what you're fully capable of, because you won't stretch yourself as far as you could stretch yourself until that responsibility is on you. Even if you feel right now that you are pushing yourself as hard as you could, going as far as you could, stretching yourself as far as you could be stretched, if you don't have all the responsibility on your shoulders, understand that when that responsibility is, or if it ever would be on your shoulders, you'll find that you could do a lot more than you've been doing to this point. You'll find that you're a lot better than you were. You'll find that there's some resources within you and outside of you that you can get access to, that there's just nothing that's going to move you to get to that level simply because you don't have to. You're doing pretty well at the spot that you're at. This is kind of like in sports, for instance, in basketball, a player who's not the number one guy on his team, but the player is very successful. They're scoring a certain number of points, maybe make the All-Star game, get a nice contract, get paid. They're recognized for being good, but they're not the number one person on that team, and everybody knows it, and they even know it. There are some skills that that player may or may not have. Again, that's why we call a privilege a rare opportunity, a special right or advantage. Not everybody needs to step into the position of being 100% responsible or being the most responsible in an organization. Not everybody even needs it. Not everybody wants it. And it's not for everybody. So sometimes that person who's the number two or number three person in the hierarchy in a group, they're not going to find out how far they could possibly go. Maybe they are going as far as they can go and they're in the perfect right spot. But every once in a while, you get a person who's not in that number one responsibility slot who wants to be. They want to get into that spot. And they know that they understand inherently what I just explained, which is they'll never find out fully what they're capable of, but they want to find out. And this is another one. Not everybody wants to find out. Not everybody wants to find out how far they can go, how good they can be, how resourceful they can become, how great that it is within them to make themselves. Not everybody wants to find that out. All right, but there are a few rare individuals who do. And today's episode is made for those rare individuals who do want to find out how far they can go. Maybe you're in the responsibility spot right now, but you haven't been as resourceful as you need to be, and you got some challenges on your shoulders right now, some things you need to take care of, and you're not quite sure you're capable of. Maybe you're starting to question yourself. That's who this episode is for. And maybe you're not in that number one spot right now, but you want to be, or you've been kind of thinking that unconsciously, maybe you do, but you're wondering, maybe, am I wrong for wanting this? Am I being too ambitious? Do I need to just play my role, play my position? There are some people who are in that spot who they come to the conclusion at some point that they do want to get to that number one responsibility slot just so they can find out what they're capable of, if for no other reason. Some people are just driven by that want alone. There's nothing wrong with that. In 2011 or 2012, Oklahoma City Thunder had three players on their team who were certified stars. Everybody saw that these guys are really good. One of them was named Russell Westbrook. The other was Kevin Durant. And the third guy was named James Harden. And James Harden was coming off the bench for this team. But when he came off the bench, everybody was recognizing, hey, this Harden kid is pretty good. He could basically play point guard. He's running the offense. He could be on the court with Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and he can be the guy running the show. He's damn good. He can score. He can pass. He can shoot. This guy has like a total package. And Oklahoma City, even though they had just lost to the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals in 2012, they had just lost to the Heat in the Finals with those three guys decisively. It looked like OKC was going to be one of those teams of the future. Like, yeah, even though LeBron and Wade and company beat them this year, OKC is going to be back. And as long as they keep this team together, these guys are going to be pretty good. But what happened is, at the beginning of that season, James Harden got traded to the Houston Rockets, and people just couldn't understand why would the Oklahoma City Thunder trade James Harden to the Houston Rockets. They didn't get an equitable return. Everybody knew Harden had star capabilities. He hadn't quite a superstar yet because, first of all, he was the third banana on that team behind Russ and KD, and second of all, he was coming off the bench, and he was still a young, developing player. But going to Houston, he got a chance to kind of blossom and show his full game, but people were still wondering why did OKC make this trade? And we'll never know because nobody has actually ever said. James Harden has never specifically said why that trade happened, if he had anything to do with it, because he was technically under contract. They didn't have to trade him. It wasn't 100% his call, but OKC did trade him. Some people say it was because Harden wouldn't take the amount of money that the Thunder were offering him. Some say that Harden had just decided, he had determined that, you know what, I want to go to another team where I can fully explore my game and I can be the guy. And I can see what I'm capable of. Now, who knows what actually happened? Because, again, James Harden hasn't said Oklahoma City hasn't specifically said. Maybe somewhere in the future, one of them will say specifically, hopefully James Harden will say specifically how and why that trade came to happen. But what we do know is that James Harden did get to fully explore his game. He did get to fully explore how good he could possibly be. And as of this recording, James Harden is one of the best players in the NBA, one of the top scorers in the game. He gets a lot of assists, gets a lot of rebounds. He's won an MVP award, has been the leader of his team for as long as he's been in Houston, which was at the beginning of that 2012-2013 season. He's been the best player on the team, the leading scorer, the best passer. Everything's been rotating around him. Everything revolves around him. And as he goes, that team goes. He wanted to find that out, and he's gotten a chance to find it out, and we'll see where he goes from here. Kobe Bryant, another example from basketball. When he was playing for the LA Lakers, won 3 championships playing with Shaquille O'Neal. So they went a little bit further than an OKC group went. Kobe was the number 2 guy on that Lakers team, and they won championships. They were good. Everyone agreed that the Lakers are the best team. They're the team of the now, not even the team of the future, and they could just keep winning. But eventually, word got out, and Kobe has pretty much admitted this in so many words these days, that he wanted to find out what he could do on his own. He didn't want to just be the number 2 guy to Shaquille O'Neal. He felt like he was the equal, maybe even superior to Shaquille O'Neal as his game continued to develop, as he continued to get stronger and better and kept working on his game. And eventually, when he was a free agent, he kind of forced the hand of the Lakers. Like, y'all got to get rid of Shaquille O'Neal or else I'm going to go find a new team to play for. They got rid of Shaquille O'Neal. Kobe won that power struggle, and he got to find out what he was capable of when he became the man on the Lakers. And he ended up winning some more championships as the number 1 guy. It wasn't always an easy road. Didn't start off so easy, but eventually he got there. More recently, Kyrie Irving, another basketball player, forced his way out of Cleveland, asking for a trade. They traded him, even though he was still under contract, because it seemed like Kyrie wanted to find out, what can I do now that I have learned a little bit from being with LeBron? I won a championship being on the same team as LeBron James. What would it be like if I could be the number 1 guy on the team again? How can I flex my leadership chops now with what I've learned? Now, the difference with Kyrie, as opposed to Kobe and James Harden, was that Kyrie had been the number 1 guy in Cleveland for, I believe, 4 years before LeBron James came back to play for the Cavs, and he had his chance to be the number 1 guy. The Cavs were not a very good team. They're a very bad team, actually. He teams up with LeBron for a few years. They won 1 championship, go to the finals a few times, and then Kyrie, I guess, decided he wanted to find out, what would it be like if I had more responsibility on my shoulders? So I'm sharing those stories with you to tell you that without that real responsibility, and these 3 gentlemen that I mentioned, they understood this. Who knows if they could explain it, but they understood it, that they wanted to find out how far they could stretch their game. How good could they be? And they knew they couldn't do that without being a person who was clearly number 1 in terms of responsibibility in their organizations. Number 2, today's topic is the privilege of responsibility. Understand that being responsible does not mean that you'll always win. Even though James Harden is a great scorer and he's won MVP awards, he's also been the person, as remember our definition, the state of being accountable or to blame for something. He's also been the person who's been held accountable and been the person to blame when his team, the Houston Rockets, have not, in all the years he's been there, they haven't won a championship. They haven't even been to the finals. There was a year when people said James Harden just quit. People said James Harden got too tired. People said James Harden is not clutch. He doesn't come through. Last year when they were playing the Golden State Warriors, or last season when they were playing the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, they were up 3-2 and didn't win that series. James Harden was the MVP. He was the, technically, the MVP is pretty much the best player in the league award, even though we all know the best player in the league has been LeBron James every year. But anyway, he got the award. He got the MVP trophy. He wasn't able to close that situation out, and he's been held accountable for that. The talking heads shows and the Twitterverse and social media, and maybe even you, have had some negative things to say about James because he's been unable to close the deal, so to speak, even though he's in that number 1 spot. Kobe Bryant, after Shaquille O'Neal got traded to the Miami Heat, Kobe's Lakers teams were not very good for a few years, even to the point that Kobe got to the point where he was demanding a trade. He wanted to be traded from the Lakers because the Lakers were unable to put a good enough supporting cast around him, even though a few years earlier, he forced them to trade Shaq just so he could be the guy. And a lot of people had a lot to say about and towards Kobe because of that. Like, dude, you forced Shaq out so you could be the man. Now you're the man. Now you don't want to play here anymore. And social media wasn't as big then as it is now. Had it been, Kobe would have had a lot of vitriol coming his way simply because of that situation, because the Lakers were not very successful once Kobe was the number one guy in terms of responsibility. So maybe he found out it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be, or at least in that particular situation, the way that it was set up. Being responsible, this is point number two, does not mean that you will always win. Doesn't mean you'll succeed. Doesn't mean everything's just going to work out just because you're in the number one spot, regardless of the fact of how good you are, how talented you are, how much you showed your potential when you were in that number two or number three or number 10 spot. When you fail or you lose in life, your mental toughness, that's where your mental toughness is built. That's where your mental toughness is tested. We talked about this in the Road Games episode. We find out how mentally tough you are when you're losing, because we want to see how you respond to that loss. Do you come back? Do you keep playing? In basketball, if you've missed your last five shots, how do you respond the next time you get the ball? Do you hesitate to take shot number six? Do you stop shooting completely? Do you stop playing hard? How do you show up the next game? If you are 0 for 10 in the last game, do you even shoot the ball in the next game? Do you even want to play the next game? This is where your mental toughness is tested. We're going to see how much mental toughness you have. And also, when you deal with these tough situations, they're not easy. I mean, who wants to go 0 for 10 in the basketball game? I mean, who wants to win the MVP award and then lose in a game seven on your home court, and you know everybody's going to blame you if you lose? Nobody wants to deal with that. But this is where your mental toughness is built. If you are mentally tough enough to come back from it and come back just as strong as if it didn't even happen. Do you come back stronger? Do you come back better? Or does the situation have you hanging your head? And while Kobe's team was sucking for a couple years, Kobe was doing pretty good. He was putting up amazing stats and getting his highlights and doing his thing while Shaq was in Miami winning the championship after he got traded from the LA Lakers. So Kobe was kind of on the one down position for a while until he got a stronger team around him. The Lakers didn't trade him. They traded for some other people, put a stronger team around him, and then he started winning some championships. Point number three, today's topic is the privilege of responsibility. High risk, high reward. If you want to take on responsibility, if you want to step into that spot where you are the most responsible amongst anyone in your group or organization for the outcomes, you're the one who is being held the most accountable, and you have the most possibility of blame hanging over your head, and also the most possibility of being celebrated and cheered for hanging over your head, this is high risk, high reward. If big rewards are what you are after in life, you got to put yourself in a line of fire. Whatever that line of fire is for you, depending on what kind of rewards you're going for, something has to be risked. You can't just walk from low risk, low reward to high risk, high reward. You can't just walk there. All right, it's not going to be an easy path. It's not a walk in the park. At some point, you got to take a leap. At some point, you're jumping. Now, you can picture the proverbial jumping from one cliff to the other. And if you come up short on that jump, jumping from one side to the other side, you're going to fall. First, you might scrape your face and your body up against the edge of the cliff that you missed. And then you're going to fall all the way down into the bottom, and you probably won't survive that fall. It's a very rocky region down there. It's not going to be a soft landing. So you got to put yourself in a line of risk, in a line of being held accountable, and a line of being held to blame, and a line of public, if we want to call it public shame or public ridicule or just public criticism, you got to put yourself in that line when you step into a high responsibility position, which also brings with it the possibility of high rewards. And not everybody's willing to step into that line. A lot of people want the reward. I think everybody wants the reward, right? Everybody wants big rewards. If you could just get them and just walk right over to them, everybody would take them. The reason why many people don't get high rewards is because they never want to put themselves in a position of high risk. Not because they don't have skill, not because there's no talent, not because they don't have game, not because they don't have the hopes, wishes, dreams, and desires. It's because they don't put themselves in a position of risk where you could fail, where you could be the one to blame, and everybody's going to know about it. It'll be very public, and you're going to have to deal with that mentally, if not in any other ways. Are you willing to put yourself in a position of high risk in order to get high reward? That's the question that you have to answer with, not with your words, as I say all the time. You got to answer it with your actions, with your decisions. Let's recap today's topic, which is the privilege of responsibility. Definition of these two words, privilege and responsibility. Privilege, a special right or advantage, a rare opportunity that brings a particular pleasure. Responsibility, defined as a state of being accountable or to blame for something. And why do I call accountability special, and why is it a rare opportunity? Number one, without real responsibility on your shoulders, you will never know what you are fully capable of, because you'll never be forced to fully stretch your game as far as it can go. Until you're in that number one spot, you will not learn the extent of your capabilities. The only way you can find out is to get into that number one spot. Number two, Being responsible does not mean you will always win. When you fail or lose, especially when a lot of people know about your failure or loss, this is where your mental toughness is built and also where it's tested. Do you come back stronger or better, or does the situation have you hanging your head? Number three, high risk, high reward. If big rewards are what you're after, and I think everybody wants big rewards, I don't know how many people are after them, you got to put yourself in a line of fire where you could possibly fail, where you could come up short on that jump from one cliff to the other and fall to a very rough, unpleasant death. Are you willing to make that jump where you could fail, where you would be the one to blame, and where maybe a whole lot of people, depending and relatively speaking in your field, would know about it, and then you got to deal with that mentally? Are you willing to do that? Again, your decisions and your actions will answer that question. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com. You and I both know that you don't need more information in your life. You don't need more content in your life. What you need is more structure, more systems, more processes for how to take all this information and make it into something real. That's why I created the Game Group. It is the only direct mentoring and direct coaching that I'm offering, where I take my systems, my processes, my strategies. I open up my vault and show you exactly how I do it in the business, personal development, basketball skill, and professional basketball areas. You choose your area of focus and you're going to get structured how-to systems and processes and my complete content vault, live trainings, guides, everything you need to do exactly what you're doing. Make sure you're doing it right. Avoid all the pitfalls and avoid all the mistakes. This is all part of the Game Group. Get full details and all the information you need to get started at DreAllDay.com/membership. That's DreAllDay.com/membership. All the live trainings, direct coaching from me, direct mentoring, get all your questions answered, get all your challenges addressed, get the systems and processes for making sure the information you have is being applied the right way towards the goals that you have and the outcomes that you wish to achieve in the Game Group membership. That's at DreAllDay.com/membership. One more time, DreAllDay.com/membership. You just listened to an entire episode of my podcast. If you've been getting value from this podcast, the 1,000+ episodes that I've been putting out, or this is just your first one, please go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review of my show. It helps me out. It helps the audience out so they know what kind of show this is before they listen to it, if they want to kind of get a taste for it before they commit to listening. And it lets me know that I'm giving value to you every single day on this podcast. So anywhere you can leave a review, please go leave a review. Thank you. I appreciate it a lot. I'll see you in tomorrow's episode. Work on your game.